Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members.
Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Enviro Heating and Air, serving all brands of HVAC systems in Sonoma County and Marin County. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' Game 2 win over the Rockets and the series standing at 2-0. Warriors in front. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. At TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, not only do you get to play where the pros play, but you also get to play where Warriors play, like Klay Thompson, who hosted a tournament at TPC Harding Park over the summer.
Thompson Family Foundation Golf Tournament, that was so much fun. Shout out to TPC Harding Park for hosting us. I played great too, so that always helps. Just a fun day on the course for a great cause.
Well, Ray, the Warriors are up 2-0 as they beat the Rockets 115-109 in Game 2. And it seemed like all the talk coming into this game was about the officiating in Game 1. And, of course, that happened because the Rockets were complaining so much. And in Game 2, there wasn't much complaining. I mean, really, the officials, maybe they did a better job, I guess. But for sure, you just didn't see the same complaining. So at least we just got to watch a pretty good basketball game, and the Warriors were able to take it to the Rockets. And it really, the biggest story of the game was the fact that Harden had his eye injury, both eyes really, and that certainly hindered him, and it made for a big difference in the game. I thought that was sort of the key to the game, and it was a shame to see. I mean, I kind of felt sorry for him that he couldn't perform at his best level, because he's really kind of straining to see.
Well, I think he was. With Harden, you never know whether some of it's dramatic. I remember he had an and-one situation where he went in and missed a layup, and all of a sudden he starts squinting. He's still a drama king.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Nobody wants to get poked in the eye. That's no fun. I guess in this case, both eyes. And it was inadvertent on the part of Draymond Green, and he let him know it right away. And I think, they were cool with that. And I think for a while, it was probably difficult for Harden. He went into the locker room, came back out. His eyes were clearly red. I don't know if that's an oxymoron or not, clearly red. But, after a while, if you're in the game and you're playing, you can't use excuses. You're taking your shots. He made some. He was pretty effective. He ended up scoring 29 points, not as effective as he's been in some other games. But I don't think he can use that as an excuse, just like Steph Curry can't use the dislocated finger as an excuse, although it appeared to be affecting his dribbling. You're in the game. So, in that regard, it kind of evened out. And as far as the officiating is concerned, it looked like everybody was on their best behavior in the first half. And then it was almost like the officiating crew, which included Scott Foster and Ed Malloy, got a call from the league office at halftime and says, where are you guys? And they injected themselves into the game in the third quarter. And they were calling everything, including a ridiculous double technical that included Draymond Green, which is significant. You don't want him to get to that 7 technical threshold. I thought that was an overreaction, and I think that it wouldn't surprise me if the league office rescinds those technical fouls. They're too important, and that there was really nothing going on that play. So hopefully that happens in the next day or so for Draymond Green and for the Rockets player. And forgive me for forgetting who it was.
Nene, I think.
Might have been Nene, but, and for him it's not as critical as it is for Draymond. That's an uneven trade right there. So I thought in that regard the referees did inject themselves into the game, and it wasn't against the Warriors or the Rockets. And by the way, all this complaining about the officiating has just gone too far. It really has. It's part of the Rockets' gamesmanship that the Warriors talked about before the series started. It was their lobbying that they do, and it gets to be shameless when James Harden says, all I want is a fair chance, and we'll live with the results. Well, I think he got a fair chance tonight, even with the injury, and they still lost. The whining and the complaining has got to stop. It takes away from the game, and actually it was a better basketball game in Game 2 than that rock fight in Game 1. So I hopefully we're past that now, because it just gets to the conspiracy theory level. I mean, I'm almost expecting the Morey report to come out from Daryl Morey, the GM of the Rockets, and have Bill Barr declare the Rockets the winner because of missed calls that are all one-sided in their report. It's asinine. So I'd like to think that that's over with. You know, and Tony talking about, oh, the officials came in at halftime and said, we missed four calls. I'm not sure that happened. I don't think an official does that at halftime of a game. I really have to call that into question. But even if they said four calls were missed on three-pointers, let's say the first foul is called, don't you think the Warriors adjust defensively? So it's not necessarily the 12 free throws are going to ensue from that. Maybe they make the adjustment after the first. And I think in this game they made an adjustment, except for at the end of third quarter when James Harden did get the free throw line and made three free throws at the end of the quarter on what I think was a legitimate foul. You know, and we can talk just for a moment about the end of game one. Now, what was your take on how that transpired with Harden and the non-call?
Yeah, I mean, that was tough because there were a number of instances where I think during the regular season a call might have been made because of the fact that you have to give him his area to land. But one of the things that I noticed watching those replays was that Harden was jumping into the defender as well, and that makes it hard on the official. That's why I don't know that all of those would be called. Maybe one of them or two of them you could have said it could have gone a different way, but he's jumping into the defender as well. So I think the Warriors kind of felt like, you know, they had to be on their guard this time because of all the complaining. You know, the officials were going to be looking closely at it. I thought the Warriors did a good job in game two, after what happened there in game one, of making sure they did leave, you know, room for landing, because that, you know, you knew that was going to be a big talking point for game two.
Yeah, I think they made a good adjustment in that regard. I think they tried to trap Harden, get the ball out of his hands as much as they could. They're also very good on the lobs to Capella, which was effective earlier in the game. And, Klay Thompson made a huge play late in intercepting a lob, getting fouled. It was basically a 4-point swing. And Draymond Green was very good as well. D'Antoni was right to mention Draymond after the game and how smart he was about that. But I think you're right about the end of game one. Harden swung his legs forward to create that contact. The referees didn't fall for that. And Harden fell to the floor, and when there was an offensive rebound to be had, Chris Paul couldn't pass it back to Harden because he's on the damn floor. So, you know, it ended probably the way it should have, and Paul, you know, got an ejection, which he should have. He was completely over the line, and, you know, he's a guy who's a competitor, but he's a sore loser, too. And in game two, you know, referees made a call for Houston, and he sarcastically clapping his hands. You know, this is a player rep doing this. It's a bad, bad look. And this whole thing with the Morey report on, the calls that were missed by the officials and all that, they're very analytical in Houston. And it's worked to some extent. I mean, they've gotten into the playoffs, deep into the playoffs, darn near made the finals last year. They've got a great player in James Harden. Two things can be equally true. He definitely engages in gamesmanship, and he tries to trick the referee. It almost becomes about tricking the referee more than it is about making buckets. And Kevin Durant said he's clever, and so he doesn't think he's a cheater. Yeah, okay, maybe he's not a cheater because he tries to get away with whatever the referees let him get away with. But you can't sit there after a game and say, all I want is for the game to be officiated fairly. You can't complain like that after you engage in all that kind of gamesmanship. Fine, you try to do it. Everybody tries to get their edge. You get away with what you can get away with. The problem for him is you can't get away with as much in the postseason as you can in the regular season when you're just kind of blown through town in one game and they don't make quite the defensive adjustments that they can make over the course of a series. And the game isn't called quite as tightly as it is in a postseason game. And, oh, by the way, you're getting the best referees in the postseason game. So it's funny that, you know, fans on both sides were howling when they hear that Scott Foster and Ed Molloy are going to be involved in this game. Well, that lineup of officials is set up before the series has begun. You might say the NBA was trolling these two teams because they both had a history with Scott Foster. You had to laugh about that, but there's a reason these guys show up in these games at this time of the year in the playoffs. They consistently grade out as the best officials. You may not like the job that they do, but that's the best they got. And so it's not surprising to see these guys in these games. And, you know, it's such a fast game now, it's hard to call everything correctly in real time. It's hard to get on the officials when people are trying to trick you all the time. And sometimes you can't believe your own lying eyes and everything's happening a million miles a minute. It's the calls that are obvious that, you know, people can rightly get on officials about not being in a position to make a call, or an official who's way out of position, you know, overruling the closer officials to make a call. You can definitely criticize them for about that. But I think by and large, these guys are pretty good. That's why they're here. So, you know, hopefully we're talking about how the Warriors' offensive rebounding was so great in game two instead of the officials.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Enviro's goal is to provide each family and business with the most energy-efficient heating and air conditioning system to fit their needs. Enviro is happy to provide a free estimate for your new energy-efficient HVAC system. Contact Enviro Heating and Air today to get an estimate and lower your monthly heating and air conditioning energy costs. Call 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. Let's hear what Warriors head coach Steve Kerr had to say after the Warriors win over the Rockets on Tuesday.
You know, we can play well, but it's going to be really hard to pull away from Houston with the number of threes they take and the number of talented offensive players they have. So, you know, despite that quick start, you know, we were fighting them off the whole game. They made 17 threes, so it's a hell of a win against a great team that you know, shot the ball really well from the three-point line.
Kevin Durant also talked to the media after the Game 2 win.
You know, lead is safe against this team, and we know that, and we know that they're going to make runs as well. So, like I said, I like how we stayed poised, and we didn't let that affect us on the defensive side of the ball, and we was able to take the lead from 3 back up to 12, and, you know, it was just going back and forth, but I like how we stayed out front.
Here's Klay Thompson on Tuesday after the game.
Some nights we'll ride the hot hand, and Kay's been doing that the whole playoff run. Tonight was more balanced. You know, we had a great production from our bench. I mean, shout out Jonas Trebko. The man hasn't played since the last in New Orleans regular season. He came out and made a huge impact tonight. Same with all our role guys. They did great. And, yeah, when we can, you know, one guy can go 50, or we can have a balanced effort. It's just the beauty of our team.
We'll have more Dubs OT right after this.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in Sandra Fell has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
I did want to go back over a little bit of what you said, because first of all, I mean, just being a baby and a sore loser is not the way that you want to act. I mean, you're sitting there in the NBA playoffs, and what an example that is to young people watching the game, that you're going to say that you lost game one because of the officiating. It's just, it's an awful look. I agree with what you're saying about that. That's terrible. And I understand, you know, you're going to argue here and there, but to just totally blame a loss on officiating, that was taking complaining to a new level that was as ugly as I think I've ever seen in sports. You hear about teams complaining, but this was really, really bad.
Yeah. When you come out with a dossier, you know, detailing all these calls right over the years, it's just absurd. And I get it, if you're in a front office and you're trying to look at every edge you can and analytics and things like that, you're going to lobby the league. But this was just pathetic. It's just shameless. It's not only a bad look, but it doesn't work for you, because now you're thinking about the officials and trying to see how you can, you know, bamboozle them instead of competing. And, you know, the Rockets, oh, by the way, they're a pretty damn good basketball team. If they're focused on competing and not on the officials as much as they are, maybe they get different results. But after all their whining and complaining, they're down 2-0 to the Warriors. And if they don't win Game 3, it's going to be a sweep, I think. I think all the air is going to be out of the balloon. So it all comes down to Game 3, as often does in these series. But listen, I mean, the Rockets have nothing to complain about, I don't think. The call at the end of Game 1, I think it was a legit non-call. It was a guy trying to trick the officials, and he got into Draymond's space, and Draymond said it after the game, that he's been fouled by James Harden when James Harden is trying to shoot a three, because he goes into his space, you know, kicking his legs out.
Right.
You know, and Steph Curry's done that from time to time, but to no extent, nowhere near what James Harden has done. And that's what I've said over the years, talking to fans about this, why Curry doesn't get these calls. He doesn't try to sell them as much as James Harden does. And after a while, you know, you keep doing this, it's human nature. You're going to wear down these officials during a long regular season, and you're going to get those calls. But here, when all eyes are on these games in the postseason, it doesn't quite work as well. So that's where the Rockets are now. They've gone this far doing it a certain way. I don't see them changing now, but this is a team that I thought played an excellent first round against the Jazz, right? And all the circumstances, when you think about it, were set up for Houston in this series. You know, the Warriors, you know, kicked away a couple games against the Clippers, a series they should have swept, and in a game that shouldn't have happened, Game 6, Steph and Clay rolled their ankles. They got to play on a Friday night in L.A., to play Sunday afternoon in Oakland, while the Rockets are sitting there waiting for them, well-rested and playing good basketball. I mean, all the arrows were pointing up to the Rockets, you know? The question is, what were they going to do with those circumstances? And in the end, as I tweeted out tonight, they did diddly flop.
Dubs OT continues in just a moment. Dubs OT is brought to you in part by Enviro Heating and Air, licensed, experienced, and affordable HVAC contractors near you. Enviro's experienced team services all brands of HVAC systems in Petaluma, Santa Rosa, Sonoma County, and Marin County. Your air conditioning system is a vital part of keeping your home a comfortable, happy, healthy place to be. A new or existing system is an important investment and will play a key role in your home energy expenses for years to come. Commercial and industrial customers also recognize Enviro's standards for excellence, which includes prompt and professional service. Enviro is known for its integrity and quality HVAC products and services. For your free HVAC air conditioning and heater estimate, call Enviro today at 707-781-8383. That's 707-781-8383 for Enviro Heating and Air. All of the ABC analysts prior to Game 1 picked the Rockets. They were all picking the Rockets to win that game because the Warriors would not be rested. They had the ankle issues, and they come out and win Game 1. And, you know, Draymond Green has been a major factor in this series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way he is playing like a man possessed. He had the double-double, 15 points, 12 rebounds, 5 offensive rebounds. You mentioned the offensive rebounds, and Draymond has been going after every loose ball that he can find. And you can't afford, obviously, to lose him to a suspension. And, you know, that's something now you do have to be worried about. If they don't rescind that ridiculous double T, and I totally agree with you there. I mean, that was such a quick trigger right there to put a double T, Ed Malloy. Nobody understood that. But if he gets to 7 technical fouls, then he gets suspended. And he's at 4 if they don't rescind this. So this is a big deal.
It's huge, and it should be rescinded. And, it's going to be a slap in the face at the officials, and especially Malloy, but too bad. They definitely had a quick trigger on that one. But if it's not rescinded, yeah, it's a problem for the Warriors. But, you know, I mean, Draymond is smart enough, you would think, now, after all the experiences he's been through in the postseason, to know how to rein it in. And, it's hard for him sometimes. It's against his nature, but he has done it before. It takes a little of the edge away from him. I think it makes him a slightly less effective player when he doesn't have that fire and that sort of that leeway, but he can do it. Like I said, here's hoping that they rescind that. That would only be fair. If they don't, shame on the NBA.
Another factor that you touched on that I think has been major so far in this series is that Clint Capella, you know, he had a better game too, but he has not been able to get going with the lobs, and the Warriors are a big part of that. It's not that they're not executing. It's that the Warriors defensively are making sure that he's not going to be able to catch those lobs. You know, the pick and roll, they're not getting the roll. And Kenny Smith pointed that out in the postgame on TNT, and I agree. I mean, there's no roll there because the Warriors are getting in the way, and that is one of the major keys, I think, so far in the series.
Well, you got to know that. I mean, you got to know when they go into certain pick and roll formations that they're going to try to lob it to Capella or bounce it to him. And like I mentioned, Klay Thompson with a huge play at the end of the game with that interception and drawing the foul and making two free throws. You know, some of that is rotation for the weak side. And between him and between Draymond, they've done a pretty good job of that. Capella was a non-factor in game one. He was something of a factor in game two, but didn't kill him. So I think their defense has been outstanding in these first two games by and large. Quite a difference, quite a contrast from the very inconsistent defense they played against the Clippers. I mean, there was a point, two halves in the Clippers series, where LA scored 156 points. You know, they put up 81, I believe it was, in the second half of game two, where the Warriors blew a 31-point lead, and then they drop another 75, I think it was, in the next game. I mean, it was just porous defense. So I worried about that. And I did worry about game one for sure. And I think Steve Kerr was worried about it as well. He alluded to that post game after game two. It's set up very well for the Rockets to take that first game and really make this a competitive series. Now, like I said, the Rockets have not done enough. They've been worried about complaining to the officials. They've been getting killed on the offensive boards. You know, they stayed in the game tonight with three-pointers and with some big three-point plays at the end of the first, second, and third quarters to keep them in the game. But in the end, the Warriors were too much, and I think it all comes back to the defense with them. When they're playing well defensively, really hard to stop them, and it's encouraging to see that kind of focus at home because they haven't had that.
When Steve Kerr worries about defense, what does he do? He gives Andre Iguodala more minutes, and that usually works out in the Warriors' favor because, I mean, he has such long arms. He just gets into you, and he's a different player in the postseason. Let's face it. I mean, he's getting older. He can't do it throughout an entire regular season at this kind of intensity level, but during the postseason, you know, you're starting him with that Hamptons 5 lineup, and it's working out. I mean, he's getting his hands on so many balls, and he's guarding whoever he needs to guard and slowing him down.
And for all those fans who roll their eyes during the season at load management, well, this is why. And by, at my age, by the way, I'm a big fan of load management. But, you know, I'm a little older than Andre. And I mean, you see why they do this. And this is why Andre gets paid what he gets paid. It's not so much for the regular season. Make sure he is fresh for these postseason games. And he's looked like a 27-year-old in the last couple of games. And, you know, starting him in game one, that demonstrated how serious Steve Kerr was about this. And I think there was a couple of things going on there. I mean, you know, the strength of the Rockets is their backcourt, without a doubt. And you got a couple of starting guards who have ankle issues. You want to help them out on the defensive end. You want to have the Iguodala in there. And I think that he kind of sets the tone that way. And the other part of it is that, you know, they're better rotating defensively with that smaller lineup. And they can also out-quick you on offensive rebounds, and they've done a very good job of that. He could always been in the middle of that, and of course his very high basketball IQ plays into it as well. So this is, you know, it's the second round, but it's finals Andre already.
So we have 3 days off before the next game on Saturday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are off days in this series, which seems like an eternity, but it might be good news for James Harden, his eyes, and Steph Curry, you know, with the dislocated finger. I heard Charles Barkley talking about how it happened to him a bunch of times, and he said that it's no big deal. Now, you know, for those of us who have not had it happen, all I could think about was that Curry must be in a lot of pain. I mean, dislocating his finger, I was thinking, how do you even go back out there? Even if it's not your shooting hand. And maybe it affected him a little bit. I mean, he was 3-for-13 on his threes, but you go back to game one and he was 3-for-10. So maybe he's just kind of out of rhythm on his threes. Maybe it has nothing to do with his finger, but, you know, we don't know. We'll have to hear what he has to say about that. But you have to hope that, you know, a few days off in between, that helps Curry.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. For as finger and for his ankle, and the same with Clay Thompson. And I trust that Harden's eyes will clear up by that time. But, you know, if you're Houston, you don't want to be going back to Houston for that home game and have to wait this long after losing two in Oakland. You got to stew over that for a long, long time. It's the worst position you could be in. It's the worst position they could have imagined they were going to be in. I'm sure they were hoping to get a split. They don't fear playing the Warriors in Oakland, I don't think. You know, they've come in there and they've beaten them a few times in the last few years. So I don't think that's it. They thought they were going to get one, and probably game one even more so than game two. And then, you know, if they could get a split, and with Steph and Clay dealing with their ankle issues, and, oh, by the way, whatever issues they are, I mean, Clay played 40 minutes and looked good and got hot from three-point range and made big defensive plays. So, I mean, he seems like the indestructible man. It's amazing what this guy puts up with. He must have a high pain tolerance level. But, yeah, as far as the dislocated finger, yeah, I've had that happen too, playing hoops, and it hurts like hell, you know. And you pop it back in, but it hurts. So, I mean, you know, I mean, they have modern medicine. Chick Hearn used to say the spray that they used to put on these guys is called Don't Hurt No More. I think they've got more, you know, advanced medicine to deal with that as far as pain killing. So I would trust that, you know, I'm just, for Curry, he's got to be real glad to have these days off to rest the ankle. And the same with Clay. I don't think Curry's quite been 100%. And the dislocated finger does hurt as far as ball handling. So I trust that would be better for game three. And listen, game three is going to be an absolute battle.
I agree with that. And to finish up, how about the way Durant is playing? And ever since that blown 31-point lead loss to the Clippers when he only had 8 field goal attempts, I mean, you look at it, 38, 33, 45, 50, 35, and 29 points. 29 points being the game tonight, game two. So every game Durant has been counted on, and he's coming through, and he played 44 out of the 48 minutes in this game. So, I mean, this guy has been just unbelievable.
He's just been a monster, and, you know, he's one of the few guys in the league and get his shot anytime he wants to against anybody. It's almost always a mismatch. And, you know, that to get a bucket when you need it, boy, that's valuable in this league, especially in the playoffs. Such a stabilizing force. And then, you know, when he gets on a tear, he's demoralizing, just the way Steph Curry can get on a tear and demoralize a team. And the same with Klay Thompson. And, you know, we're seeing the reports that there's players who are convinced that he's going to New York. All I can say is, KD, why you want to do that? You want to play for James Dolan? Really? Do you want to play for James Dolan?
No.
What are you thinking? You got a new arena coming up. You've got a great team to play with. Yeah, you've had your ups and downs, but is there anything better than playing until June? You can do that for the next couple of years, maybe. Why, you know, going to New York to play with your friend Kyrie and maybe Zion Williamson? Okay, that's enticing. But you're playing for James Dolan. You know, you may not be thinking about that now, but at some point, you're gonna see the tire fire and want to get out of the building. So, I don't know. That's my plea to Kevin Durant to stay. I'm sure that he'll listen to it intently.
Nice pitch. I like it. Well, right. We'll look forward to talking about games 3 and 4 when we get together again next week, and we'll see if the Rockets can stay in the series.
All right. Sounds good, Jeff.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.